So we're up to the sugya on daf on the gimel amud aleph. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the amud. And this is the sugya of dichui b'mitzvahs. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Does everybody find the place? Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Niktam rosho be'erev yontif. Vi also bo tamra b'yontif. Mahu. So Rashi points out, Dibra Maschil Yesh Dichu Yetzal Mitzvahs, and Blinena will come back to this point later on, but Rashi points out at the outset that Hashtalo Diek, right now, the Gemara is equating two situations of Dichu. One is Nireh V'Nidcheh, one is Dichu Meikara. In this particular situation, it says also Botamra B'Yontif. And that means, by definition, we're talking about Dichui Me'ikara. As we enter into Yontif, the Hadas is possible. That's not a case of Nira V'Nidcha, but right now the Gemara is not Yored, is not differentiating between the two categories of Dichui. Now, the Gemara is going to now stretch its arm out all the way to Masechet Chulin, to the case of Kisi Adam. But Tosis points out here, B'dibra Maschel Niktam, which is about 10 lines down from the top, that the Gemara should have had a section here, L'chora, even before stretching its arm out all the way to Chulin. We're not learning Chulin, but Menei Ubei, right here, in the Mishnah itself, in Masechet Sukkah, we have a case of Dichui. And the Mishnah seems to say it's okay. Where's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is here on Daf, Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. And we're talking about the case, this is not the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, but the case of the Mishnah is Anovav Merubos Me'olav, which means that Hadas is possible because of the Ribui Anovim. But the Mishnah goes on to tell us in Miatan Kosher, that even though the Hadas was posel, nevertheless he can make it kosher. Now again, you could always say that he made it kosher before Yontif, so that's not relevant to the sugi of Dichui, but then the Mishnah goes on to say, V'ein mematin b'yontif. And ein mematin b'yontif means that we're talking about Yontif itself. Yesterday we had a long discussion about being memait, the anovim b'yontif, whether it's an avera of Meleches Yontif because of Tikkun Mone, maybe it's Dov Hashem Miskavet, he wants to eat the Anovim, he has an Ola Hoshana. That was yesterday's discussion, but that's not for us today. What's relevant to us now is that Lechora, right here in the Mishnah, you see that Ein Dichui Eitzel Mitzvahs, because the Mishnah itself is saying that although you're not allowed to be Mabayit the Anovim on Yontif itself you can't take the Anovim out, but if he went ahead and he took the Anovim out, then the Hadas is kosher. The Lashon HaMishnah is Meduyik. It says, Ein Mematin B'yontif, Hayin Miyaton Kosher. And if that be the case, we have here an open and shut Mishnah that says, Ein Dichui B'mitzvahs. Now again, you could always argue that that's a case of Dichui Me'ikara. We're going to have a case later on where the berries turn black on Yontif. Erev Yontif, going into Yontif, they were green. And that's not a psul. So it means it was nira v'nidche. It was royal limits for going into Yontif, and then it became psul. And then you could talk about the real makoy dichui etzel mitzvahs. The real makoy dichui etzel mitzvahs is nira v'nidche. But at least Tosa says in this case ein mematid the Yontif going into Yontif, the hadas was psul because of the ribui Anovim, and yet the Mishnah is machshir if he takes off the Anovim. You see that at least in the case of Dichui Me'ikara b'mitzvus lo havi Dichui. So why didn't, you know, if the Gemara here, Boy Rab Yirmiya, he's talking about a case of also Botmara b'yontif, which means he's talking about a case of Dichui Me'ikara. That means the tomorrow was not there on Erev Yontif, so going into Yontif was Niktam Rosh, it was Pasul. Then Lechora, straight away from the Mishnah, you have a case of yesh of ein dichri etzel mitzvahs in the case of dichri mei kara. Why did the Gemara have to stretch its arm out all the way to chulin with kisi adam and this and that? Why not bring it from minei uberi? So this you'll see in Tosis, he says, Tifshot dichri mei kara lo avi dichri. Okay, so at least we can come to the conclusion that dichri mei kara lo avi dichri. So Tosis answers that there's a fundamental difference between Rav Yirmiyah's dichri mei kara and the Mishnah's dichri mei kara. Even though, again, we're only splitting hairs, it would seem that they're identical, but Tosis says it's more than just splitting hairs. Because in the case of Niktam Rosho, he does not have any way of removing the psul. He's totally bedin shamayim, so to speak. Meaning, he can't grow a tamara on top of the hadas to replace the Niktam Rosho. So it's not what you call biyado. He doesn't have the ability to remove the dihui, to remove the psul. Mashaykein and our Mishnah, the Mishnah is a case of ribui anovim. There, he just has to remove the anovim. And it's not a surprise, says Tosus, that in such a case, ain't dichri etzel mitzvahs because of biyado. Where does Tosus know this from? Is this Tosus, the creation of his mind? Tosus says, shiny hasam to biyado lulake. Lulake means to remove the anovim. Which is not the same in the case of Miktam Rosho, because also but Tamara is not the Yodo. And Tos says, I feel bekachim. He says, I'll prove to you that the Yodo is not even an issue of Dichui, meaning that the Yodo completely removes the whole shail of Dichui, even in Kachim. You know, we're vacillating back and forth whether the din of Dichui in Kachim should apply to mitzvahs. But even in Kachim, if it's a case of the Yodo, we don't apply the principle of Dichui. And here he quotes the sugya Masechta Zvachim on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that if the Kohen Kosher was Makabel Ledam, and then he has next door to him, you know, standing next to him, he has a Kohen who's a Balmum, who's Posel, and he takes the Dam in the Mizrak and he gives it over, he hands it over to the Kohen Posel, and at that point the Kohen Posel is not royal Zrika, so the Zrika became an impossibility. And yet the Mishnah says that if the Kohen Posel is now kind enough to return the Mizrach over to the Kohen Kosher, then the Kohen Kosher goes ahead and he's Zorik the Dam. Even though at one point it was Dachui, there was no possibility of Zrikas Adam as long as the Mizrach was in the hands of the Posel. Uparach, the Gemara asks on this Mishnah, V'levi Dichui, Mishani Ravashi, Kol Shebiyodah Lo Avi Dichui. Why is it Biyodo? Because all the Kohen Posel has to do is what? Hand it back. That's called biyado. Here too, also in the case of the anovim, if you have too many anovim on that das, all you have to do is remove the anovim. So both these cases, you have what's called biyado. If in kachim, which is the original dihui, if it's biyado, that's not called dihui. Then how much more so in mitzvahs, which is the derivative, if at all, of kachim of dihui? Certainly, biyado would remove dihui. That wouldn't prove anything. That would not satisfy the curiosity of Rav Yirmiyah, because Rav Yirmiyah is curious about a case where it's not biyado, where it's also about tamara. That's not in his hands. So in other words, Tosfos is establishing that when there's a situation that, in other words, we have two extremes and then a middle case. We have one extreme which is very, very reversible. The psul is easily, you know, it's like you're just taking something out of, you know, let's say something fell into your milk container, so you just remove it. You know, it's so easy to remove the psul. That's on one extreme. On the other extreme, Tosfos says, you have a case where it's impossible to remove the psul. The psul chora is there and gone. And it's there forever. But in the middle, Tosfos says, you have a case where the psul is reversible, but you don't have any way of reversing the psul. So in the first case, where you just have to pick something out of the milk, you know, take something out of the milk container, that's called biyado. That's not called dichui. No, that's not a profound, if I could use the word rejection. We haven't profoundly and irreversibly rejected this object from mizbeach or from mitzvah. We just have to simply rectify something. It's like putting a band-aid over a cut. You know, just simply remove the psul. Here's the psul, just remove it. Now you have cases where you don't have the ability to remove the psul. The psul is reversible, but that's totally bishamayim. You know, it's if the hadas will be also tomorrow, not that's not something that's beyond. So Rav Yirmiyah Lechora could have proven from our Mishnah of Miyud Anovim, which in a case where he violated Yontif and he was Mamayti Anovim on Yontif, the Hadas is kosher. So you see that that Ein Dichui Bim Mitzvahs. Tosa says that the reason why the Gemara here does not invoke our Mishnah in order to prove that Ein Dichui Bim Mitzvahs is because that's called biyado. Simply remove the barriers. What was Rav Yirmiyah's Safek? Rav Yirmiyah's Safek was where it's not biyado. Why isn't it biyado? Because he can't grow it tomorrow. Only nature could grow it tomorrow. But then take a look at the next line in Tosus. I thought I was very excited about this Tosus, and I thought I understand be'erach what's going on. There are two types of dihuis, you know, there's a real dihui that's profound, and there's another dihui which simply means just take it off, you know, remove the psul, you know, pluck the berries or hand over the mizrak to the kohen kasher. But then Tosis confuses me a little bit, because he says, umiu lo legamre domi lahai dina. Now, at this point, Tosis is going to enter into the distinction between what's called Dichime Kara and Nire V'Nidche. And he says the following, Lo Legamre Domi Lahai Dina. In other words, what's going on over there in the case of Nire is a case of Nire V'Nidche. Meaning that the Dam, once it was received in the Mizrach by Kohen Kosher, that's called Nira. The Dam is Roy Lizrika. And then what happens? He gives all the Mizrach to a Kohen Posel. At that point, it becomes Dachui. So it was Nira V'Nidche. Oh, nevertheless, the Mishnah establishes when the Kohen Posel hands over or re-hands over the Mizrach, the Dam, over to a Kohen Kosher, it's Roy Lizbeth, Roy Lizrika. So you see that biyado is so powerful that it even works in a case of nira v'nidche. Are you with me? In other words, at one point this dam was royal Izrika, then it became posel, and now we're reinstating its royal Izrika state by giving it back, and that's called biyado, and that's fine, even though yesh tichui bekodshim, but now it's biyado, and therefore, ein dichui bekodshim when it's biyado. Tosa says that's not exactly the same as our Mishnah here of Miyud Anovim, because in the case of Miyud Anovim, that's not called Nira V'Nidche. Because again, when did he remove the Anovim? The Mishnah says, it says on Yontif. It says ein b'matim biyontif. If it's ein b'matim biyontif, as we pointed out earlier, then it's not even Nira V'Nidche. No, it's going into Yontif. It was Dachui. Tosa says that you shouldn't equate these two, meaning the fact that biyado could remove dichui in the case of Miyud Anovim, that's not such a, how should I say, a profound or an extreme case of biyado. If I want to prove biyado removes dichui, then I want to prove it even in the most extreme or the most classical case of dichui, which is what, Rabbi Osai? Nira V'Nidche. So that in the case of Kabbalah Saddam, there was Nira V'Nidche, now you're telling me biyado removes dichui. That's a very far-reaching conclusion. The conclusion that you might want to derive from our Mishnah here on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis regarding Miyud Anovim, that Enochinami, if it's biyado, even according to the Tzad, that Yesh Dichui B'Mitzvahs, but if it's biyado, that's not called Dichui. That's only in the case of Dichui Meikar. That's a lowercase example of Dichui. So if you wanted to use our Mishnah to prove the power of biyado to remove dichui, Tosis would object. He says, "Lo dami." What's the language? Tosis, lo legari dami. That wouldn't be enough. That wouldn't be enough of a proof. You haven't gone far enough. If you're only basing yourself on the mission of miyudan novim biyadiv and proving that biyado removes dichui, that would not really do it. Why? Because that only proves that biyado is operative to remove dichui in a case of what? Of dichui meikara, meaning going into yontif when the shame mitzvah was chal on hadas, it was already dochui. How do I know that in the case of nirav and nidche, you can still apply the principle of what? Of biyado to remove the dichui, even in the case of nirav and nidche. For that, I need the Mishnah in Zvachim. Tosfos is basically establishing almost like a hierarchy over here in terms of biyado and its power to remove dichui. Tos says that our Mishnah is a lower echelon. You could say that the Chiddush of our Mishnah that biyado removes dichui is only agav urcha. That's not the thrust of the Mishnah. The purpose of the Mishnah is to tell us that it's also on yontif to be mamayit the anovim, and the ends don't justify the means. Even though you need this hadas, and let's say it's the only hadas that you have, and you don't want to forfeit a mitzvah doraisa of hadas the yom rishon because of the ribui anovim. So what do you want to do? You want to remove the anovim. Enochinami, the removing of the anovim would calm you down. You know, that would give you a das kosher, but you're not allowed to do so. Why? Because of the Isur of Tikkun Bonan. And here we have the machlokas where the Tikkun Bonan is Doraisa, if it's the Rabbanon, if it's Dom Shein Eskavim, the whole discussion that we had yesterday. But that's not the thrust of the Mishnah. Where does the Mishnah formulate the halacha, this chiddush? That if it's biyado, that's not called dichui. And even if yesh dichui in the case of kodshim, nevertheless, if it's biyado, we don't apply the principle of dichui. That's the Mishnah in Zvachim. Because the Mishnah in Zvachim is addressing the most extreme case of dichui, where it was nireh v'nidcha. And all of this discussion is based on the sugya here on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Because the Gemara is going to conclude that in the case where the berries turn black and therefore they pasul the hadas on Erev Yontif, then you can remove those berries on Yontif. That's called Dichui Meikara. But we don't know what would be if going into Yontif they were green, these berries, the hadas was there for kosher, and then they turn black overnight on Leil Tesvav the Tishrei, whether or not he could remove the psul by removing the shchorim, the anovim shchoros, because it could very well be that since it was nireh v'nidcha, the Gemara says it was nireh going into yontif, because what was the color of the berries going into yontif? They were green. In such a case, then we're going to apply the principle of yesh dichui v'mitzvos. The Gemara never comes to that conclusion. It's never definite one way or the other whether yesh dichui v'mitzvos or ein dichui v'mitzvos, but the Gemara is opening up the door to the following logical distinction, that even if I prove to you, which I certainly can prove to you, that ein dichui eitzel mitzvus in a case of dichui meikara, that means that it was black going into yontif, that doesn't prove what would be the din if it was green going into yontif, because that would be nirav v'nidcha. So you see clearly that, at least in the maskana of the sugya, although Rashi says up front, right now the Gemara is not distinguishing between the two cases, the two categories of dichui, whether it's dichui meikara or dichui of nirav v'nidcha. But at the final maskana, we see that dichui of nirav v'nidcha is a much more profound dichui. You know, dichui is a kind of active posel, and if it was kosher, then it can receive the active psul of dichui. It's a rejection of sorts. Mashenkin, if it was never in the parasha, it was never a shame hadas kosher to begin with, because from the get go it was already possible because the anov shchoros in erev yontiv. There you could say, okay, now I'm creating a shame kashus. So again, let me just review this one line here, because there's so much here in this one line. Umiu lo legamri dami lahaidina da nirav v'nidchahu, because the case of Zrikas Adam, of Kabbalah Sadam and Zrikas Adam, that's a case of Nira v'nidcha. So in other words, if you would have our Mishnah, and our Mishnah would establish that Biyodo removes Dichui, assuming Yesh Dichui v'mitzvahs, I would still not know that that would be meaningful, biyado, in the case in Zvachim, because in the case of Zvachim, it was a case of Nirv and Nidcha. So I still, in other words, if I'm being very argumentative about it, you know, being very object, you know, to object, I would say the following, that in the case of Anov, of Ribuy Anovim, here you might say that because it was Dichui Meikara, meaning it had a Ribuy of Anovim going into Yontif, that's why Biyodo removes Dichui. And that wouldn't be a proof. But what about a case of Nirv and Nidche? Like, for example, let's say the berries were green going into Yontif, and now they became black on Yontif. That I don't know. I don't even know if Biyado, again, this is the Knacker Biyado, it's not a full-fledged Biyado, because really he's not allowed to remove the berries, but if he went in and he removed the berries, so it's still some sort of Biyado, I still don't know that biyado would help me in the case of Zvachim, because again, that's a case of what? Of Nira v'nidcha. So let's just read the next line in Tosus. He says, Nira v'nidcha havi, because the case in Zvachim is where the Dam was received by a Kohen Kosher, and therefore it's Nira v'nidcha. How do you know that biyado works even in that case?
Right.
Just give me one more minute just to make sure I have it all.
In the case of
Zvachim is Nirv and Nidche, and if not for that Mishnah, we certainly would not know that Biyodu is enough to remove Dichu. So that's the Chiddush of that Mishnah.
But the Mishnah doesn't teach us that?
Yeah, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. I'm just saying, if you only had our Mishnah here in Sukkah, don't start dancing in the streets and saying, well, I have a banner to wave over here, that if there's Biyodu, that completely removes Dichu.
Right,
no. I need the Mishnah in Zvachim. Because if not for the Mishnah in Zvachim, which is the case of Nirv and Nidcha, I can't prove a thing from the Mishnah in Sukkah, because the Mishnah in Sukkah of Ribuy Anovim is talking about a case where it was Dochi Meikara. When did we remove the Anovim? On Yontif. And in fact, the Gemara itself is going to tell us that if the berries were green going into Yontif, then it could be that if he removes the berries when they became black on Yontif, that would not be Machshir Adas, because Yesh Dichui B'Mitzvahs, because that's a case of Dichui Meikar. Our Mishnah says, Ein Dichui Eltzel Mitzvahs, because that's a case, I'm sorry, what I mean, because that case of green berries that turn black on Yontif would be a case of Nirev and Nidche, that's what I meant to say. And don't prove anything from our Mishnah, the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis, because our Mishnah is a case of what? Of Dichu Meikara. Why is that case of Dichu Meikara? Because when did he do the Miyad Anovim, says the Mishnah?
Yeah.
On Yontif itself. Okay then?
Yeah?
Yeah?
It doesn't seem to me that the cases are symmetrical at all, because even when we talk about in Kachim, in Zvachim, there was Kabbalah Sadam was by Kosher, and then he handed it to somebody with it was Basel, right? He didn't actually do anything to the Dam itself. All it is the second Kohen is not Roy to do the Zrika, but or the Halacha, whichever you want.
Right.
So he can hand it back to the first one without a problem, without causing a problem.
I mean, there's no physical change in the dam.
That's right. He said, possibly. He didn't say it was Tameh. If the second goal was Tameh, that's a different story. Because he was
Alan, let me ask you to hold on to this point for one more minute, because I think this is Rabbi Kivega's point. Let's just see what Tosus says, Behemshech HaDvarim. He says, Ulekamen Maskinon, the Gemara is going to come to the Maskono, Delo Tifshut Minei Nira V'Nidche, Choser V'Nira. Don't conclude, based on our Mishnah, that if it was Nira V'Nidche, and then Choser V'Nira, meaning if there was a Hechsher, and then a Psul, and then you remove the Psul, and now you're going back to the Hechsher, that would be enough to be Masherit. The Gemara says, I can't prove anything. V'afal gav to biyodo l'lakton, even though he could be machshered by just removing the blackberries, no proof, says the Gemara. Why? Because that's a case of nirav v'nidcha. Our Mishnah says Biyado removes the Ichui and it's kosher. That's because it was a case of Dichui Mein Kara. So it works like this, that Biyado operates in Dichui Mein Kara, but it doesn't operate in the case of what? Of Nira V'Nidcha. So here Rabbi Kiveger asks the following question. But one second, Tosis is aware of the Mishnah in Zvachin. He's not ignorant of the Mishnah in Zvachin. I mean, even if one would say that Tosis forgot the Mishnah in Zvachin, it's hard to say it here. He himself quotes the Mishnah in Zvachin. So you can't tell me he doesn't know it. And he says, and the Gemara answers, no, it's Biyada. So there's a funny kind of modus operandi going on. On the one hand, Tosis says that Biyado is limited. When I say it's limited, I mean could be limited. Again, we're playing with all sorts of logical possibilities. But the possibility is that we could limit Biyado to the case of Dichui Mein Kara. But in the case where the berries were green going into Yontif, which is Nirin Nidcha, Tosis says we have no proof as to whether Biyado would remove the Dichui of Nirin Nidcha. But wait a minute. Says Rabbi Kiveger, Tosis himself knows the Mishnah in Zvachim. In the prototype of Dichui, we say that even though it was Nira V'Nidcha, when the Kohen gets it back, Kohen Kosher, I mean, he could be Zorik the Dam. So you see clearly from the Mishnah, and Tosis is very aware of this, that even in the case of Nira V'Nidcha, if it's Biyado, there's no din of Dichui. So how does Tosis reconcile that with this Gemara here, which leaves open the question of Biyado in the case where the berries were green going into Yontif, which means Nira, then they turned black on the night of Yontif. Now he wants to remove the berries, and at this point we're going to say that since it was Nira and then Nidche, we're going to apply the principle of Yesh Dichui B'Mitzvah. That's the possibility that Tosis is recognizing, because it's Nira V'Nidcha, despite the fact that it's Biyado. So Tosis says, wait a minute, Biyado is a very nice, powerful force to remove Dichui in our Mishnah here on Lamed Beis, because that's a case of Dichui Mein Kara, but don't draw any conclusions, Tosis says, about Dichui in the most extreme Dichui, meaning the classical Dichui of Nira V'Nidcha, that you can't prove anything from this Mishnah. And in order to support that, Tosis then invokes the end of this sugya here on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, you know what, you could prove from our Mishnah of Biyad Anov Biyontiv only one thing, that there's no Dichui in the case of Dichui Mein Kara, but in the case of Nira V'Nidcha, where the berries were green going into Yontif, you have no proof one way or the other. And Tosfos says that even though Biyado removes Dichui, Biyado doesn't remove Dichui in the case of Nira V'Nidcha. So Frechter V'Kivenger, what do you mean it doesn't remove Dichui in the case of Nira V'Nidcha? I mean, that's good for the Mishnah in Zvachim. So here's where Rav Kiveger says the following. Listen to Rav Kiveger. It's almost pure mathematics. Again, if somebody could explain to me the logic of Rav Kiveger, I'll be very helpful. But to me, this is just pure mathematics without any logic whatsoever. Rav Kiveger says the following. There are two categories of biyado.
That's right.
There's biyado b'isur, and there's biyado b'heter. When the Kohen passes it back from him to him, that's called Biyado Beheter. So the halacha doesn't object to his doing that pu'ula, you know, passing it back. You gave it to me, you know, who knows same, who look at. Mashiach, in the case of Hanovim, there if he removes the Hanovim Biyadiv, although physically it is Biyado, but al pidin it's not Biyado. So Rav Kiveger says that's a lower class biyado. That lower class biyado, that's a second class biyado. Everybody see that? It's like a race on the biyado. Why is it a second class biyado? Because it's not mutter for him to do it. You know, you can tell me I'm allowed to pass the dam back to the Kohen Kosher. There's no problem with that. But to say that I'm going to remove the Anov Man Yontif, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though he removed the Anov Man Yontif, which he wasn't allowed to do, nevertheless the Hadas is kosher. Says Rabbi Kivega, that's okay in the case of Dichri Mei Kara. In the case of Dichri Mei Kara, where the Anovim were there and the Hadas was possible going into Yontif, so the Hadas never had the status of Nira, then you could apply the principle of Biyado, even if it's Biyado Be'isur. But what Tosfos wants to point out is that if the Anovim turned black on the night of Yontif, which is called Nira V'Nidcha, because the Anovim were green going into Yontif, so it was Nira, now you can't apply the principle of Biyado. Why? Because that's a Biyado Be'isur. That's what Tosfos means when he says v'lo domini. The Mishnah in Tzvachim. The Mishnah in Tzvachim says that biyado works even in the case of nira v'nivcha. That's only because it's biyado beheter. So it comes out that like it's like a, what I call like a tarti dereisa kind of thing. You know, the two strikes against you. Rabbi Kivega sets up the following mechanism. He says that if you have a problem of dichui, so you might be able to solve that problem with biyado. Okay, but now you have to ask yourself what kind of dichui and what kind of biyado. So there are two levels of dichui and there are two levels of biyado. So the most severe level of dichui is going to be nira v'nidcha, and the worst level of biyado is going to be biyado be'isur. The best level of dichui is going to be dichui meikara. And the best level of biyado is going to be biyado beheter. If I have biyado beheter, it's such a powerful biyado, it can even remove dichui in the most extreme harsh case of biyado, of dichui, namely of nir v'nidcha. However, when you get to miyun anovim on yantiv, you're talking about a second class biyado. If it's a second class biyado, it's biyado be'isur. That can only be meaningful, he says, in the case of dichui meikara. Hence our mission on daf lamid beis amid beis. But in the case on the sugya on daf lamid gimel amid beis, where we're talking about berries that turn black on yantiv, that's a case of nira v'nidcha. That's a very extreme, harsh kind of dichui. There, you would need the best level of biyado to remove it. Where do we find the case of the best level of biyado that's even capable of removing dichui meikara? Hello? Anybody home over here? Where's the best, the most extreme case of dichui where biyado, since it's the l'chatchila biyado beheter, it can remove even the dichui of nira v'nidcha? The Mishnah Tzvachim. Excellent. The Mishnah Tzvachim. Because the Mishnah Tzvachim is talking about an extreme case of dichui. It's nira v'nidcha. And yet, biyado works. Says Rabbi Kivega, you know why biyado works in the extreme case of dichui of nira v'nidcha? That's because it was biyado beheter. Now, what about the case of miyud anovim? So it depends. He says miyud anovim on yontiv is going to be a second class biyado because it's biyado be'isa. Oh, so what's the power of a second class biyado, meaning a biyado be'isa? Oh, he says that's only meaningful if you have a second class dichui. If you have a lowercase dichui, that's the case of dichui meikara. So therefore, if he had the ribui anovim going into yontiv, then the adas was never kosher at all, never had a moment of hechsher. Here we're going to say ain dichui. Why? Because it's biyado. It's biyado be'isa. We'll let it pass. It's biyado be'isa on a lowercase dichui of what? Of dichui meikara. But, says Tosfos, don't draw any conclusions about the case of berries that turn black on yontiv. Because if the berries turn black on yontiv, that's an extreme case of dichui. That's nira v'nidcha. And here, the only type of biyado that could work would be biyado dumi d'svachim, which is a biyado beheter. But a biyado of mira non biyontiv, which is a biyado be'isur, that's already a second-class biyado that cannot operate on the first class of dichui, which means nira v'nidcha. That's Rabbi Kivega. The trouble is, Rabbi Kivega doesn't give us any logic here. You know,
what's the part that's not logical?
No, I'm just saying, you know, Mimon of Shach, I don't understand Rabbi Kivega. If Rabbi Kivega is telling me that there is such a thing as biyado be'isur, that's also called biyado, and that's why the Gemara did not, as Tosfos points out, never quoted our Mishnah here on Lamed Beis Amid Beis to answer up to be poshek the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyahu. The Gemara skips all the way to Chulin with Kisei Adam. It's because our Mishnah is talking about a case of biyado. So you see clearly that according to Tosfos, biyado operates even with regard to biyado anovim on yontif, despite the fact that it's biyado be'isur. So if that be the case, then if you're assuming that Dichayetzel Mitzvah applies even in the case of Dichay Meikara, then if Biyado works on Dichay Meikara, even if it's a Biyado Be'isur, and that's our Mishnah here, so why not prove from that? Again, the technicalities I understand. I don't have a kash on Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega is beautiful. I mean, he's right. Don't prove a thing from our Mishnah, because that's a case of Yodo Be'isur in a Dichri Meikara. So yes, if you have A plus B, you have Dichri Meikara, which is a lowercase Dichri, and you add to that a Yodo, even though it's a Knapper Yodo, it's not Yodo Behetim, Yodo Be'isur, okay, there Yodo works and removes Dichri. But don't prove anything about a first class Dichri. And then give me the second class biyodo of biyodo biyisu. Meaning the first class dichui is when the berries were green going into yantar. That's called nir v'nidche. You can't prove anything about a biyodo biyisu in such a case. You want to prove that biyodo works even in the most extreme case of dichui? I got a mishnah for you.
So what?
That's not a problem. But don't prove it. Don't prove it in the case of a biyodo of mir anav biyantar, which is a biyodo biyisu.
Why does Rabbi Kiva make a different distinction between green berries and the blackberries? Why does he say what?
The Gemara itself makes that distinction,
yeah,
right?
So how does he justify it?
He justifies it by saying that biyado is a biyado be'isur, and in a nirav nidcha kind of dichui, biyado be'isur is not enough to remove dichui.
It seems simpler to say the reason is the green, because when it's green berries, even though he can be picking a be'isur, there's also the possibility that they will ripen and they'll be good. But that's not biyado. That's not biyado, but there's a possibility exists. The situation exists that it could occur. But with the blackberries, there is mamish no other.
Yeah, right.
The only possibility is for the pick them. So he's got that the Easter is definite it's going to occur.
Black one makes it worse.
That's what I said. So yeah, so the black one makes it worse.
You're saying there's a possibility it'll become black.
No, I didn't say become a black. I said where the green ones will become ripe.
Not black.
What does that do?
Not black. So that doesn't help you.
You still have to take them
off. Yeah, you have to take them off. But they didn't become the Eastern is not a definite soul in itself. The black is no good even because it's black. It's not because of the reboy.
The green is fine.
The green is okay, is the way it is, or whether it returns, whether it doesn't make any difference. But the point is that the intrinsic mitzvah remains intact. It's just it's being prevented by some overgrowth of something. And so in this case, there's too many berries. But when they turn black, it turns black, there's mamish no way of getting rid of that unless you get rid of the black.
So I will say, if you don't mind, again, just a bit mechila, as we say, it's 30 minutes, so you should have to ask mechila. But if we could continue that discussion afterwards,
okay.
I just want to make one point over here. In the case of miut anovim,
right,
as opposed to other cases, you take a look, Tosus Behemshech brings other cases. For example, he has a case of kodshim shenishchetu ad shelo nifgam mizbeach, yachkach nifgam hamizbeach, dipsul, hoil v'nidche yidche, afal pi shebiyodo l'sakim. So again, these are the premises of Tosus. Number one, Tosus assumes, based on a sugyan zvachim, that if you shechted a karman and you were makabel a dam, but before the zrikas adam, nifgam hamizbeach, the mizbeach now is posel, Tosus says, in that case, the karban is posel. There's nothing you can do to salvage the situation. Even though, says Tosus, it's biyado. Why? He can fix up the mizbeach. There's no problem in fixing up the mizbeach. And Tosus says, yesh l'chalik. He just says that there, biyado is not going to remove the psul of dichui. Once again, you know, he gives you a very strange kind of... again, at the time of the Shechita, the dam was roi,
right.
That's called nireh. So it's an extreme case of dichui, because once it was nifka mizbeach, there's no possibility at this moment to be zorik the dam. And therefore the Gemara applies the principle of yesh dichui etzel kodshin. Fractosis, what about biyado? He can fix up the mizbeach. Tosfos asks another kasha. The Gemara says that if a person was makdish a karbon and subsequent to the process of the avodas hakarbon, but before the zrika, it became a mumar. Rachmana litzlan, it became a mumar. Yeah, the Rambam has in Hilchos Tshuva. You know, we learn, some people have the minig of reading another perek in Hilchos Tshuva during the Aser Tshuva, the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam has in the third perek of Tshuva, which we read yesterday. Correct? What are we up to, number four, right? So the Rambam has a list of ten fundamentals of the faith, as you call it, and if you deny any one of them, you become a mumar. So now the karbon becomes nidche, because the karbon of a mumar, zevach rishoyim, is possible in his back. Fractosis, but what about beyond? We can do tshuva. I mean, that's what we're all about, right? We can do tshuva. So Tosa says that sometimes biyoto works, sometimes biyoto doesn't work. And the question that I'm asking is, so what are the criteria here? When do you say biyoto, when do you not say biyoto? So if the coin puzzle is now holding on to the dam, and now you're going to say it's biyoto, just give it back to the coin kosher, everything is fine and dandy, and biyoto removes dichu, even though it was nirv and nidch. That's clear.
Right.
Again, that's biyoto behetar, but it's a biyoto. However, in the case where nifgam is beach, and even though it's biyado, Tosa says that's not going to reestablish the kashrus of the karbon. And also in the case of mumar, where he can do tshuva and can reestablish himself as a kosher, nevertheless the karbon is nidche, and we don't say biyado.
Right.
So what exactly are the criteria here? When is Tosa willing to say biyado, and when is he not willing to say biyado? And it's very interesting because it comes out that Tosfos at the end of the day understands very well that in the cases of Miur Anovim, we will apply the principle of Biyado and we're going to remove Dihui. In the case of Kabbalah Saddam, Al Yidei Kohen Kosher, and then he passes it over to Kohen Posel, there we will apply the principle of Biyado and remove Dihui. But in the cases of Nifgam HaMizbeach, or the case of Mumar, in those two cases, we don't apply the principle of Biyado, and Yesh Dihui Eitzel Kodeshim, and that's it. The Kodesh is completely Posel, irreversibly Posel. So I gave you a photocopy the other day of a Tosis Yeshanim. A Tosis Yeshanim increases, says the following. The Afal Gav, it's a paragraph here on the left side, you'll see it says Shitas HaTosis. So what says Tosis Yeshanim increases? He says, Afal Gav Dekaimon Dekol Shebiyodo Lo Avidichui Hani Mili She'ein Hadichui Machmas Psulo. Aval Hai, but here in the case of Mumar, he says, Nidche Machmas Psula Guf. Now, wait a minute. What is this? You know, it's very rare that a Rishon, like in this case, the Tosi Shonim, says pure Lamdus. I mean, you know this is pure Lamdus. There's no way mathematically that you can make a distinction between the case of a Mumar and the case of Dam, you know, when Dam went from the hands of the Kohen Kosher to the Posel and back to the... I'm saying, without Lovdus, I don't think you can do it. He says, listen to the language again, I'll read it to you again. He says, when do we say that Biyoto works, and it's not called Dihui? Hani mili she'eno nidche machas psulo. He's saying some sort of a Lovdus over here. It's not called Psul. Okay? Well, what's not called apostle? What's not apostle? Give me a two-letter answer. One word, two letters.
Dam.
The dam is not apostle. That's the only thing. That's the only way you can interpret this Tosfos Yeshanim. Oh, Aval Hai, but the dam in the case of a mumar, he says nidche machmas psula guf. There's a psula guf in the dam. I mean, if you don't have love, there's no way of explaining that, because the dam looks identical whether or not the Bala Karbon became a mumar. You know, the fact that he became a mumar doesn't change the physical guf adam. Obviously, guf adam here.
Just think
about this. Means you have to conceptualize this. What I mean to say is that sometimes it's rare. Rishon says something to you, and you know he's not talking about physical reality. because there's no way you can explain it, you know, on physical. Like, for example, Rabbeinu Tam has a sugya in Shabbos, and based on the sugya in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Hey, he concludes that Dam Chilazon is Mifkin Pocket. That it doesn't circulate throughout the Chilazon, it's in a membrane. You know, it's very hard to lumbicize that Rabbeinu Tam. You know, we'll have to cut up autopsy on the dead chilazon, and we'll figure out exactly what the dam looks like. But in this case, there's no physical difference between the dam that's handed over to a kohen posel and the dam at the point where the Baal HaKarvah became a mumar. And yet one he calls a psul begufo, that's the case of a mumar, and the other he says is not a psul begufo. What does it mean? So the gufa. The gufa, the dam wasn't changed one iota. Is everybody following me?
Yeah,
so if you don't climb up to the world of conceptualization here, right? I don't know how, you know, I know, Sam, we've had this discussion many times about whether or not Shas is built on Lothus or not. I would submit to you, at least in this case, so that Abuki Yosef, there's gotta be some lumbus here. He's setting up two categories. He's saying something is called a psul begufo, and something is not called a psul begufo. And enough to me is going to be whether you say biyado to remove dichu. So if it's not a psul begufo, that's the case of the kohen that went into the hands of this. It wasn't royal Israel at that moment, but it's not a psul begufo, and then you can apply the principle of what? Of biyado. But in the case of what? Of a mumar, there he says, again, this is the Tosi Shanim. You know, talking about one of the Balei Tosis. He says that's called a psul begufo, and once a psul begufo, the yado doesn't help you anymore.
Yeah, but that's what I was trying to say before, Rebbe. Is that there's a difference between biyado, which does something, is misaking something in the gufa mitzvah itself, and one that is just it takes some intrinsic matter that is a technical problem that you can't perform the mitzvah.
Oh, so, excellent. So that's I think the lumbus here, the word technical, that's what gets me going. I like that. You know, that's what sets me on fire. There are two kinds of psulim in kashrut. There's something called a technical psul, meaning at this point the dam per se is kosher, but at this moment in time, Asher Rusham, there's no way that you could be zorik the dam. If you just remove that technicality, then you could be zorik the dam. Says the Tosi Shonim, in such a case, that's not a psul begufo. If it's technical, there's a barrier, because right now the dam is in the hands of someone who cannot implement the zrika. That's a technicality. Just get the dam over to the hands of someone who can implement the zrika. That's not the case of mumar. In the case of mumar,
no good.
There, the halacha is that it changes the nature of the carbon. It becomes a carbon of a mumar. The carbon itself is pasul, and every single fiber and every single molecule of the carbon is pasul. That's called in the language of the Tosi Shanim a psul begufo. And here, biyado is not going to help you, because that's the most extreme case of dichud. It's nireh v'nidcheh, but what kind of dichud is it? It's a dichud that generates a psul begufo. And a psul begufo is not something physical, because the dam hasn't changed one iota just because this jlub, pardon this phrase, has become an apikoris. Sam?
What's to prevent me from having a naive perspective that dam, if it's in the hands of someone who cannot be zorigut, is possible, begufo, horrible, terrible. The
correct. If not for the Tosi Shonim, I would agree with you a thousand percent.
It's not that circular. You call it the psul abuf because you're saying it's not remediable. And it's not remediable because it's psul abuf. But I can just say, that's in the hands of a non thrower.
The premise in the Tosi Shonim, which again,
yeah,
Don't blame the Tosi Shonim. The Tosi Shonim is trying to make some sense out of the sugya.
Right.
You have a Mishnah that says that even though it's dichui, but it's biyado, meaning just hand it back to the original kohen kosher. And on the other hand, the Mishnah says explicitly that if the Baal HaKarvah became a mumar, then even if he would do tshuva and remove his status as a mumar, the karma is possible.
Yeah,
you follow? So don't blame the, you know, again, you could offer another answer to this theorem, but you know, you can't be totally, you know, you can't just throw stones at the Tosi Shonim. Tosi Shonim is very hard pressed to understand the difference between the two, and he claims that the temporary possession of the dam in the hands of a of a Kohen Balmum is not the same as a Psula Guf. Because basically nothing changed here. Just, you know, like, you know, you could have issues about if, let's say, the Kohen, see, trouble is we know too much. But let's say we didn't know too much. So what I'm about to say is absolutely wrong. But make believe it's right. Let's say the Kohen Kasher would put the Dam on the Ritzvah.
Right.
Now, if we don't know, like, Rabbi Yehuda, the Ritzvah Mekadesh, right? So he just picks it up from the Ritzvah, and he does the Zrika. So you'll tell me, but wait a minute, it was Nidcha, while it was on the ground, there was no way that the Kohen could do it. Then the answer is, that's a technicality. Do you follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's say the Kohen, as he's holding the Mizrak, gets Nebucha, what's that disease called when your hands start freezing up? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's
a word for it. Yeah. You know, he gets temporary
frostbite.
Frostbite. Okay. No, I was referring to what's it called?
Paralysis?
Yeah, but there's a certain thing of paralysis. Like, for example, sometimes I've seen it, you know, people's face start, you know, and they can't move parts of their face. They can have dear hands. Anyway, whatever it's called.
Called palsy.
Some sort of a palsy, okay? So you're going to tell me that Dav is possible because of Dichli? He had a momentary split second of palsy. That's a technicality. Comes along the Tosi Shadim. He says, that's not a psul. It doesn't have a halachic state of a psul. Masha Enkein, a mumar, his whole carbon changes. It's called a Zebek Rishon. So far, so good. But I'll tell you why it's not so good. I got all excited about this except for one problem. The Gemara tells us that if after this Riko of Nifkam HaMizbeach, even though it's Berado, is the carbon is possible. That's also just a technicality. It's not, nothing changed in the Dam.
No, that's not so.
So what do you see for this new game from this Tosi Shanim? Feistais, that's an unbelievable kachidish. That Nifkal HaMizbeach apostles the Karbonos. And here I want to read to you the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Peri Gimel, Mehilchus Psule HaMikdosh Malach Chav Beis, Mizbeach She Nifkam, Nifsulu Kol HaKodshim, Shahayu Sham Shchutu Vemikdash, Shvadayim Lo Nizrak Doma. Unbelievable. The Rambam quotes a pasuk to prove that all the Kodshim that are before Zrika, in other words, there was Shchita, there was Kamal Sadam, there wasn't Zrika, they're all Psulim. Nifsalu, the carbon itself is possible. So the Brisker Rav says, wait a minute, the Rambam has to quote a pasuk for this? Says the Brisker Rav, yeah, the Rambam needs a pasuk for this, because if not for the pasuk, I would have said that technically he can't do the Zrika because he doesn't have what? Of his Be'ah Kosher.
So fix it.
So fix up the Mizbeach and go home. Well, what's the problem here? It's just a technicality. And for the Brisker Rav, you see from the Rambam needs a pasuk to prove that there's a psul in the Gufa Shel Karbon because the Dav has to be omed the Zrika on a Mizbeach kosher. And if the Mizbeach is removed because it was disqualified, therefore the Dav...
There's an Easter Kutchim if there's no...
Okay, I know there's an Easter Kutchim here, but to say that it's a psul in the Gufa Dav, when you put the Tosis Yishonim and Krisis Dav Zayin together with this Rambam and Hilchos Psul HaMikdoshim, a whole new picture emerges in front of your eyes. And then you can jump back to Masechta Sukkah, and you can begin to understand why Biyado operates in the case of Miyud HaNovin. What is Miyud HaNovin? In the case of Mizbeach, what you're doing is you're doing an act of being machshir the Mizbeach. And being machshir the Mizbeach means that you want to be machshir the carbon. Can't do it. There's a psul b'gufa shel carbon. In the case of Mumar, the Mumar himself has a status al pi din that generates a psul in the Gufa Shel Karbon. Let him do tshuva from now till Mashiach time. That's great. And we'll applaud him for that. But he can't remove the psul in the Gufa Karbon. It's a Zebach Mishayim.
It's like he was talking.
And that's irreversible. The case of the Kohen, okay, the Kohen handed it over to a Kohen Apostle, so what? That doesn't generate a psul in the Dam. There's no chalos psul in the Dam al pidin. And therefore, Biyado removes Dichui. Again, this is all going to be very problematic when we get to the Sugi of Kisei Adam, because again, in Kisei Adam, what happened? Just the Ruach came along and covered the Dam. I mean, why is that called a cheftz of a psul al pidin? I don't know. Again, I'm admitting that, you know, we're not there yet. But in the case of being anavim, that's just a technicality. I need to remove the anavim. That's what we have so far.
Right.
Okay, Rav Moshe, again, there's a lot more here, but that's ad kan hakofal. Now here I want to learn the Rashi's with you. This hakofa bit. The Gemara says, Lema ketanoi. So if everybody could tell me that they have the place here, it's about halfway through the Amud. Is there a simon here that somebody could help me here? Again, in my Gemara, it's parallel to Rabbeinu Hananel, but the Soras HaShas helps you? Okay, does that help anybody? It certainly wouldn't help me, but I happen to know where it is, so I don't need to be helped.
Right after the word Teku.
Right after the word Teku. Excellent. If you can find Teku, then you're in great shape. Lema ketanoi. You have it? Avar v'likton pasul divrei yezer b'tzadik v'chachomim achshirim. So you'll notice that our Mishnah here on Lamed Beis reflects the sheet of the Chachomim, but the Gemara now quotes a brisa that introduces Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik. We didn't have Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik in our Mishnah, and he says that it remains pasul. Oh. So the Gemara at this point is going to assume that the machlokas here between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chachamim revolves around the issue of dichui. Why? Because since there was a ribui of hanovim, the hadas was pasul. Now you remove the hadasim and you want to be machshir something, yesh dichui b'mitzvus. The Chacham al deim dichui b'mitzvus. That dichui is limited to kodshim, it doesn't apply to mitzvus. Why? Because they're not arguing about an issue called lulav tzarech agad, and they're not arguing about an issue called tasa v'lo menasa. So basically, Rav Moshe, if you remember from our 8:30 shiur, that there are three possible ways of explaining this machlokas. One is to say that they're arguing about what's called tasa v'lo menasa, which is called yalfinon lulav mi sukkah. In sukkah, there's a psul called tasa velomena osui, because the Torah says sukkah's tasa lechosuz rasiya. And assuming, this is a great assumption, that lulav tzarech agad, then the agad is considered an asiya. Why is agad considered an asiya? Where does the Torah call agad an asiya? That's called yalfinon sukkah, lulav mi sukkah. But they were both written in the same parasha there in Emor, and we can derive one from the other. So therefore, what happens? You did the agad on what kind of hadas? At this point, there are lots of anovim. So what's the status of that hadas?
No way.
It's possible. Then you remove the berries. That's a problem. That's like the case where you put schach, that's mechubel lekarka. You know, you set up your sukkah underneath the foliage of a tree, and then afterwards you cut off, you detach the foliage from the tree. That's called tasav alominos. Here also, you just remove the berries after the agad. That's no good. Again, it's not tragic, so he'll have to do the agad again. But on Yom Tov, that might be a problem. Whatever it is, So the Gemara says that's one possibility, whether yalfinon lulav misukkah or not. Another possibility the Gemara entertains is the machlokas here between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chacham revolves around whether lulav tzarech agad or not. As everybody agrees that if lulav tzarech agad it's called an asir, and yalfinon lulav misukkah, and then there's a problem of tassel amrasu, but the Chacham never accepted the principle of lulav tzarech agad. So initially, the Gemara rejects both of those approaches in favor of the third approach, that the machlokas revolves around dichui b'mitzvus. So the Gemara says the following. If you have the place inside, it says the following. It says, Savrua, meaning, this is the Hava meaning of the Gemara. The Kulian, everybody agrees, Lulav ain't tzarech agad. Oh. So if lulav ain't tzarech agad, you've already excluded one possibility. It can't be that they're arguing about whether lulav tzarech agad or not. The intim Solomon, even if I grant you lulav tzarech agad, both Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chacham agree lo yalfinon lulav misuk, and that excludes the psul of what tasa v'lo menos. Okay, because in Sukkah it says tas, but not, and that excludes lo mina asu. Oh, so then what is the machlokas? My love, by process of elimination, b'hakam ifli man the apostle according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, sover amina yesh tichui etzel mitzvus. Correct? So this hadas was rejected. Why was it rejected? Because it had a ribuy of hanovim. And once it's rejected, you can't reinstate it. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, I'm sorry. Uman the machshir, the rabbanon hold, lo amina yesh tichui etzel mitzvus. Okay. Now, on this sugya, in terms of the other possible ways of explaining the machlokas, meaning that maybe the machlokas is around is about whether or not lulav tzarech agad, and if lulav tzarech agad, then if we derive lulav agad and lulav from sukkah, then we come to the conclusion that there's a problem of tasav lomanosli when you're mamayit anovim. So on this we have a Rashi. Now, to find the Rashi, I'm going to tell you the Dibra Maskel of Rashi, but that's not really the Rashi I want, because it's a very long Rashi, we're going to chop it into pieces. So the Dibra Maskel of Rashi is, if you have the same Tzuras Adaf, the classical, what we call Vilna Shas, so on the right side, on the skinny lines, it's five lines up from the bottom of the skinny line. So it's five lines before it gets wide, if you follow me. The lulav misukah lo yolf. Do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're looking at the first of the wide lines, vahai. Again, not at the beginning of that line. I would say it's about 10 words into the line, vahai. Wow. On the first line of the wide lines in Rashi. Now, Rashi here has a kasha. What's bothering Rashi? Very interesting. This is so atypical of Rashi. You know, that Rashi has a kasha and a tevet. Rashi wants to understand why is it that the Braisa that records this machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik, and Chachamim couches it, frames it in terms of Avar v'liktan. What does the word Avar mean? By definition, what day of the calendar? On Yontif. You follow? Avar v'liktan means we're talking on Yontif. So Rashi is bothered by this. Rashi thinks that the machlokas should apply even be'erev Yontif. Why dafka be Yontif? You could have issues of dichui even on erev Yontif. This is fascinating. So Rashi's answer is stama. I'll get back to the word stama in a minute. Basically, stama means that the mitzias is azoi. In other words, the reality is such that people do agad, not on erev yontif, not on yontif, excuse me, but rather on erev yontif. Okay. So therefore, if he did the agad on Erev Yotiv, when was he mamayit the hadasim in order to create this problem of tasavom? And also, he probably did it on Yotiv. But again, let's go back to the premise of Rashi's kasha. This is what's most important to us. Rashi's assuming in his premise that this whole story about dichui could have taken place on Erev Yotiv. Now keep in mind, the Gemara at this point is holding that Kuliyamalo Pligi, let's read it again inside, that, where is it? The Imtin Saloma Lulav Tzarech Agad, and then it's Lo Yalfidon Sukkami Lulav. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying, there's no machlokas about Lulav Tzarech Agad, because Imtin Saloma Lulav Tzarech Agad, so we're holding Lulav Tzarech Agad. Now you want to introduce another issue, namely Tasa v'lomanasi, that's not an issue either because lo yalfinan sukkah lulav misukkah. So that excludes all those possibilities. The machlokas there is about dichui. Frek Rashi, let the dichui take place on Erev Yontif. And the Dochak, Rashi has a whole thing about why the Braisa talks about Yontif, but it's only because of this mistama of Rashi. Fundamentally, Rashi agrees both in his Havamin and when he asks the Kash and in the Maskana that we could have dichui b'mitzvahs on Erev Yontif. How could you have dichui b'mitzvahs on Erev Yontif? We never had dichui b'mitzvahs on Erev Yontif. For example, let's say you have too many berries on the hadas. The Mishnah says explicitly, just remove the berries. There was no issue about dichui. The Gemara never tried to prove from that that ain't dichui b'mitzvahs. Dichui b'mitzvahs only applies after what? After the shame lu of shol mitzvahs chala, that shol mitzvah, which means after sunset on the night of the 15th of Tishrei, correct? We're getting closer.
Even though you can't even count kind of mitzvah yet, until the morning.
Oh, that's another issue. That's the Aruch Haner goes wild over this Rashi. What do you mean, kish kish ayob, there's no mitzvah? Okay, so there's a lot of longness on that. It'd be interesting to see if Heshi Reichman has anything on that. But I'm sure if the Rav was here, he would. I'll tell you exactly what he would say. That the Kedusha Sayyob generates the mitzvah of lulav immediately. It's just a p'tur. Up to until the next morning. Now, I'm sure I get it. I don't know if Heshi says it, but it's got to be there. You know, if it's not there, we'll write it in. But that's not my issue. My issue is, what's Dichui on Erev Yomtiv?
Wasn't there an issue of whether it was Agad already?
Oh, excellent. Agad. This is what the Marsha wants to say in Rashi. The Marsha says in Rashi that since Rashi is holding by the line that says, Imtim Tzaloma Lulav Tzarech Agad, then there's a din of Dichui b'mitzvahs based on Agad. This is wild, Rabbo said. Watch what goes on over here. You do an Agad on a Hadas that has too many berries on it. And even before Yontif, you have no way of being Makshir Hadas by removing those berries if you hold Yesh Dichui B'mitzvahs. Because again, the Gemara is now claiming that according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok, the problem here is Yesh Dichui B'mitzvahs. But Rashi says, so let's talk about Erev Yomtiv. Says the Marsha, what kind of dichui can there be on Erev Yomtiv? The answer is because lulav tzarech agad. And if lulav tzarech agad, then even on Erev Yomtiv, you have now a chefza shel mitzvah. It's mind-boggling. It's before Yomtiv.
How does he say that?
Again, he says there's no other way of learning Rashi. I don't know of another way of learning Rashi. You know, it's not because I don't want you to misunderstand me. It's not the holiness of the Marsha. The Marsha was pretty holy, by the way. But my father told me that, I think I told you a million times, that in his gang in Litha, learning Gemara meant Gemara, Rashi, Tosus, and the Marsha. And I sat 5 years by the Rav, and he never quoted the Marsha, not once. Or maybe once, I should say, once, in order to argue with the Marsha, against the Marsha. So, you know, times have changed, you know, for those who believe in the Marsha says, and I don't know if another way of learning Rashi, that Rashi is assuming Yesh Dichui B'mitzvahs on Erev Yomtiv. Frek the Marsha, how can you have Dichui B'mitzvahs on Erev Yomtiv? Okay, there are too many Anovim, just remove the Anovim, as I state in the Mishnah. The answer is that he did the Agad, and we're holding Lulav Tzarech Agad. So the Marsha has now, again, I don't blame the Marsha, it's Rashi, an unbelievable chiddush, that you can have a chefza shel mitzvah with dinei dichui on Erev Yontif, if lulav tzarech agad, and you did the agad. The agad itself creates a chefza shel mitzvah. And if at that moment it was possible, then you can't be machshir.
Why stop
at Erev
Yomtiv? 2 days before, 3 days before,
never
do the agad.
Yeah, so at what point does it mean, according to my show, if on Tu Bishvat I do an agad? You know, at what point is agad meaningful? Now, I don't know.
Well, did it last after Yomtiv came in, or it didn't? When was
Magad? I mean, maybe it depends on whether the agad stays until Yomtiv. Right. That's an interesting idea. That's a brilliant idea. I don't know if that would satisfy Yechiel's curiosity.
Incidentally,
but then
that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I didn't cheat. I mean, there's certain things you know.
No, that's the thing that I asked you before you get Rabbi outside. Is the thing is now this is the igud that this the igud itself becomes a chefza of the mitzvah. So at that point, there's.
Right, I would have said, Alan, the igud becomes a chefza of mitzvah on Yontif. No, you set up the igud on Erev Yontif, and on Yontif it becomes a chefza shel mitzvah. So now we're saying that on Erev Yontif it became a chefza shel mitzvah. My afkamina, who cares when it became a chefza shel mitzvah?
That would be a problem, even because if you hold, then if you did the igud before Yontif, it wouldn't be able to do no good.
Right. Now we're holding that there's no din of tassav olam osui, right? Because again, we wanted to exclude that tassav.
Right.
So the Marsha says that Rashi is against the Gemara. Why? Take a look on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, and you'll see that the Gemara says the exact opposite. The Gemara says, "In Miatan Kasha." So we're dropping down about what is it? 9 lines from the top, something like that.
8 lines.
8 lines down from the top.
Miatan Kasha.
Right, in Miatan Kosh, as I state in the Mishnah says that you could be Mamayit, you shouldn't have done it, but if you went in, you were Mamayit, it's Kosh. So the Gemara says the following, Dematinu Emas, when did he remove the berries from the Hadas? Elam, if you're going to tell me, Makami Deliagde, before the Agad, Pshita. Then for sure, if he removed the berries before the Agad, then that's not dichyetzel mitzvahs. He's just being machshir the aga, the lul. El abasar the agde. Okay, now we're getting into exciting territory here, because what happened was he did the agad on a hadas posel, and now he removes the berries to be machshir the hadas after he did the agad. Says the Gemara, dichy mei karahu. In other words, going into Yontif, it was posel. So that's only dichu meikara. Tivshu minei dichu meikara. Dulo avi dichu. So at least I can, you know, the less radical, as we discussed before, the less radical case of dichu is dichu meikara. And at least Chach, you have to grant me that the derivation from our Mishnah clearly is that dichu meikara lo avi dichu. Says Gemara, no, this is incorrect. You're making a big mistake. We all on Basa Diagde. Enochinami, when did he take out the berries? It was after the Agad. Ah, so you're going to tell me, you're going to prove from this and Ein Dichui? No. Because Savar Agad has mana bi almahu, vas mana lav milsehi. Now, if I didn't have Rashi, meaning Rashi on Omid Beis, if I only had the Rashi and Omid Aleph that we spent a lot of time on, I would have said the following. The Gemara now is making a switch between Lulav Tzarech Agad and Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad. Enochinami, if it would be Lulav Tzarech Agad, you're in a state of Dichui, because at the time that he did the Agad, he had too many berries. And that's called Dichui Meikar, that's a Dichui issue. And if you're going to tell me that he can remove the berries, I don't care whether it's on Erev Yontif or on Yontif, that's because ain't dichui b'dichui beikar. Says the Gemara in the answer, but wait a minute. Let's go according to the Ma'adi Omar, who says lulav ein tzarech agad. That would be a wonderful way of interpreting Rashi. The trouble is, and let me say it in two stages. Number one, the Gemara doesn't indicate ki hu zeh, that we are switching from our original premise, which is the whole premise of Omid Aleph and Omid Beis, that Lulav Tzarech Agad. The Gemara never drops that premise. But number two, it's even more powerful. Because Rashi doesn't distinguish here. There's a long Rashi, Dibri HaMaskel Hachi Ger Simen. See if you can find it. Again, nobody has my Gemara, so it's right at the parallel Targos Vitzayunim, but you don't have that in your Gemara, I don't think. So again, it's about 15 lines down from the top of the page, and it says Liolam Basa the Agdi because Sofar Agad has mana bi'almahu. Okay. Now, at some point in this Rashi, I would anticipate that Rashi should tell me that we're holding now lulav ein tzarech Agad. But guess what? Look at the Rashi. Ein agudaso kriya shem lios chalal of shem lulav. Puzzle lidchos. In other words, there's no dichui here, because what you need in order to set up dichui, you need a lulav puzzle, and in order to be a lulav puzzle, it's got to be a lulav. Then it has to be a lulav that's royal mitzvaso. It has a shame. It has a status of a lulav shel mitzvah. And now dichui, and now the psul is chal. Rashi says the aguda itself is not called a kriya shame, right? It's not called a kriya shame. Lios chal olav shem lulav pasul lidchos. Hilkach afilu dichui meikara enkan. So you can't even derive the conclusion that dichui meikara, that ain't no dichui. Actually, Kani Shol of Ayom, again, this Rashi Lashita, so the Rashi holds that at what moment does the Shem Lulav Kosher Lemitzvah so emerge, and then the Psul is at the moment of Kiddush Ayom, Vodenem Psulo, became in the Motesman Mitzvah, Velochasi Le Mikri Dichli, Avon Makamiyachi, Lo Lav Dichlihu. So we're talking about a case of Agar on Erev Yontif. And what we're saying is that this has nothing to do with Dichli, because it can't be Dichli, Rashi says, because Dichli is only Shaykhus after it's Chal, Olav, Shem, Lulav, and it became Pasul. And that's only Mishnah Kiddush Hayom, but here would be before Kiddush Hayom. And Rashi says that therefore the Agad is not going to generate a shame Cheftishal Mitzvah for the Dichli to apply, for the Psul to be Chal. And why is that? Because it's before Kiddush Hayom, even though it's Agad. No, so what happened to Lulav Tzarech Agad? The answer is that Kriya Shem at this point is only considered Hazmana Milsa. Hazmana Bi'alma, but Hazmana Bi'alma Lav Milsa. So it's unbelievable. Rashi says the following. The Maisa Igud took place on Erev Yontif. But at what point is that Igud going to be Chal and generate a Shem Cheftish Al Mitzvah such that now we can apply the principle of Dichui? That's only after Yontif sets in. But until Yontif sets in, it's only Hazmana Milsa. And he's going according to the Mighty Omer of Lulav Tzarech Agad, which is exactly the opposite of what Rashi says at Omer Aleph, and the Marshal leaves this as a Tzarech Iyun. I can't outsmart the Marshal, but if anybody can outsmart the Marshal, the Marshal wants to claim, it's unbelievable, that this whole Rashi here on Omer Beis is Rashi's final conclusion. And the Rashi on Amud Aleph was Rashi's Havamina. Swat. And he says the reason why Rashi on Amud Aleph came to this conclusion is because the Gemara, because Rashi had the problem, why would Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik, based on Lulav Tzarech Agad, apply the principle of Dichui? And Rashi says that in the Havamina, the Gemara thinks that if Lulav Tzarech Agad, then there's a din of Dichui even on Erev Yontif. And that was the whole Havamina, which the Gemara rejects over here with the Chiddush of Agad Hazmana Milsa. Meaning, the Gemara is clearing back and forth according to the Marashah about a very Lamdashah Hakira. Again, I'm sorry to say that. He doesn't like it when I say that, but there's a Lamdashah Hakira. What does Agad accomplish according to the Vandiyomar Lulav Tzarech Agad? Yesh Lachkar, and there are two definitions. And the whole sugya revolves and vacillates back on this issue. Does Lulav create a Cheftish Shal Mitzvah? I'm sorry, does Agad create a Cheftish Shal Mitzvah? We're talking Erev Yontif. Or then, Lulav is something that you have to do to set up the Cheftish Shal Mitzvah, so that physically, what? Igud, I meant to say. So set it up physically, so that Misha Kiddush Hayom now becomes a Lulav Shal Mitzvah. It only sets up the object so that now with Kiddush Hayom it can become a Lulav Shel Mitzvah. And then you'll apply the principle of Dichui. But in Erev Yontif, it's only Hazmana Milsa. Right. So it's wild, because it comes out that Igud on Erev Yontif, according to the Man Yomer Lulav Tzarech Agad, is Hazmana, nothing more than Hazmana. Again, that Hazmana is absolutely necessary because I have to physically set up the Lulav as having an Agad. And again, according to the Shita that Lulav Tzarech Agad, you need a Kesher Shel Kayom, and that you can't do in Yontif. So on Yontif, you're going to make this Kesher Shel Kayom, on Erev Yontif, you're going to make this Kesher Shel Kayom. Has anything changed here? Has the status of a Lulav Shel Mitzvah been generated? Absolutely not. It's Hazmana Milsa. But that Gemara only knows in the Maskana. In the Havamina, the Gemara thinks that it could be Dichui. The moment you do the Agad on Erev Yontif. And the only reason I know this, and I have the chutzpah to say such a thing, is based on this Rashi here on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabbi, so what I'd like to do now is just to give you a little bit of a taste of where I want to go next week. Now, next week we only have Sunday and Monday. So anyone who can come on Sunday or Monday is Tovel and Bracha. If you can't come, you can't come. As I said to Don earlier today, you know, I can only try to, you know, take the horse to the water. Is that how you say it? You know, the horse has to decide whether to drink the water. So, you won't be missing anything. I don't have to feel guilty for those who can't come, because this is just the end of this month. Now, what we're going to be learning next month remains to be seen. I offered 7 possibilities. If you want, I'll add another 20 possibilities, but it's just going to confuse us. As is, I got some flack. Rabbi, why did you offer 7 possibilities? It's too confusing. And people came to the conclusion that I listed it in order of what I think is first preference. There's no truth to that whatsoever. Because if I had to fill out this census, I have no clue at this point what I would choose. Okay? I was attracted to the idea of chopping it up, you know, and doing their Hanukkah, and then doing Purim a little bit, and then doing Pesach. You know, that was very, how should I say, Moshech. You know, that was attractive to me. But when I came up with the idea of Chulin, which is a wonderful Masechta on 2 levels, because there are parts of Chulin that are so halacha l'maisa, and then Chulin is a Masechta that you can learn at a fast pace. If anyone's learning Daf Yomi, then Chulin is a great option. Again, I'm not selling Chulin here. Don't get me wrong. I'll be happy with pretty much any of the options. Some of them are more burdensome on me than others. You know, that's just the nature of, you know, Chulin is a real, real challenge for me. You know, to try to, parts of Chulin are taris. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there. And then the parts of Chulin that are treifus. I mean, it's the only time I ever saw a colored picture in art scroll. Colored picture in art scroll. And you don't want to see this picture. It's mamish, very gory.
Show the Hilig Kukum.
Yeah, I don't know about the Hilig Kukum, but it shows a lot of the guts of the animal. So for next week, I'd love to learn with you a sugya which we learned this morning at 8:30, and that's on Daf Lamed He. And that's the sugya of Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni. Now again, when I say Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni, there are 3 conditions that you have to check off here to understand the sugya. Number 1, it's Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni. Number 2, it's in Yerushalayim. And number 3, we're holding like Rabbi Meir. So if the Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni is in Yerushalayim, then there's a heter achilu. The Gemara says that everyone agrees that an Esrog Shel Arla is possible because it's Eimbo heter achilu. You can't eat an Esrog Shel Arla. But in the case of Ma'aser Sheni, out of Yerushalayim, it's like Arla, because there's no heter achilu. But in Yerushalayim, Adarab, there's a mitzvah achilu. However, there's one man in the Gemara. The Gemara identifies that as Rav Asi. First, the Gemara didn't know who it was, and the Gemara identifies that as Rav Asi. The Rav Asi is of the opinion that there's another condition in Esrog, in all Dalami. It's not enough that you have a heter achila, you also need a din mamon. And Rav Asi says, therefore, if you have an Esrog of Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Ma'aser Sheni is mamon gavoah. And therefore you have no personal ownership, there's no bailus, and it's not lochem. So again, it's lochem on one, from one perspective, it's lochem because you're allowed to eat it. And it has a heter achilu, but it's not lochem from the perspective of ownership. And that is because we're holding like Rabbi Meir, that Ma'aser Sheni is mamon gavoah. Now, in general, what Mamon Gavoah means is very, very confusing. What do you mean Mamon Gavoah? How can you call it Mamon Gavoah? The Torah commands me to eat it. I'm not eating your Ma'aser Sheni, I'm eating my Ma'aser Sheni. Why is that called Mamon Gavoah? But beyond that, this is a very confusing Rambam. Because the Rambam always, consistently, requires nothing more than a heter achila. The Rambam says that if you have an esrog of Ma'aser Sheni and it's in Yerushalayim and there's a heter achila, it's kosher l'mitzvah. The Rambam says that if you have an esrog of Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, if you have flour that was made from wheat of Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and you bake the flour by adding water, it's called Reishis Ariso Seichem, and Yechayim in Chala. Why is it called Ariso Seichem? Because in Yerushalayim, you have a Heter Achila. The Rambam Hilchos Matzah paskins that if you take wheat of Ma'aser Sheni and you make matzah out of it, then it's called your matzah. Why? Because you're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. Consistently, the Rambam, time after time, paskins that all you need is a heter achil.
Even if you're a mevatel of mitzvah saseh, by doing it.
Which mitzvah saseh? I didn't follow.
If you're eating an esrog getting an esrei on Yantar, and it's only esrei. You're maybe hiding the mitzvah of Dalet Minim.
No, no, what I'm saying is the following, that you can take the esrei of Maaseh Sheni, use it for the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Why? Because it has a heter achil. Because if you wanted to, let's say a two esrei, whatever it is, you could have eaten that esrei.
You can eat it after.
You're saying if you ate it on Yantar.
If you ate it on Yom
Tov, or is it also because you?
But how much of it are you eating? I mean, the Gemara says they used to eat the esrog on Yom Tov, but only parts of it.
You doesn't can't. Matter.
You got to make sure which part of the esrog you eat. If you eat the whole esrog, then you don't have an esrog for the mitzvah of lekicha. But wait, I lost my trend. So anyway, the Rambam is very difficult because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Meir that Maaseh Sheni is momen gavoah. And the Rambam paskins that a lulav hagozel is possible because of lochem. So it means the Rambam requires two things in esrog. He says lochem means number one a heter achila, and lochem means bios. It has to be yours. In fact, the whole sugya of Avankari was all about how the seller could obviate the problem of gozel if the hadassim were growing in a non-Jewish field and they assumed that field was stolen from Yisrael. So we see that. You know, lachem and ownership of dalet minim is a prerequisite. It's an absolute condition for the mitzvah of dalet minim. And then the Rambam goes ahead and he says that if you have an esrog of maaseh sheni b'Yerushalayim, then you can be yotzei the mitzvah because yesh bo heter achil. But what about lachem? So if the Rambam hadn't paskin, the Rambam in Perek Vav Mehilchos Bikurim paskins very famous Rambam like Rabbi Meir. That Maaseh Sheni is Momen Gavoah. No, if it's Momen Gavoah, then it's not Lachem. So on this we have a Mari Kurkus. And the Mari Kurkus was one of the Megurashei Sfarad 5 centuries ago. Yeah, he walked out with 75,000 Jews by foot, you know, from Sfarad. Some people consider him a Rishon. And he wrote a commentary on the Yerushalmi. In certain parts of Zeroyim you can't learn without the Mari Kurkus. But in any event, he also has a commentary on the Rambam, and his commentary on the Rambam, he points out this L'chor Stira, that the Rambam on the one hand says you don't need Lachem in terms of Bailus, you only need Lachem in terms of Heter Achila, and yet the Rambam requires Bailus in the Dalet Minim. So he tries to reconcile the Rambam, and this leads to a whole pilpul, a whole literature, which with a Minchas Chinuch and a lot of Torah on this. So that's what I would like to Blineder cover. So let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a full-fledged tshuva me'ava. You know, it's Shabbat Shuva, it should be a tshuva gemura. The highest level of tshuva is tshuva me'ava. And we should be zochet to Gemara Chesima Tova, and everyone should be well. And if you didn't get the survey that I tried to send out by email, maybe it means I don't have your email address. And if you did get the survey, please give me your response so I can quickly decide what I'm preparing for Chodesh Cheshvan. Okay then? And we'll stop here.